I would like, first of all, to pay a tribute to some people. First of all, this dear pastor, my dear friend for so many years, this congregation, this pastor and this congregation have been a blessing to God's preachers all over the world. And this congregation and this pastor has been a blessing to the servants of God, missionaries around the world, and the Lord's people. And Doris and I, we're about to leave you for a while, going over to Virginia, and may not be back for a little while, but we want to thank you and thank God for all that you are, all that you've been, and all that you do in His blessed name. Turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians and let me read a scripture here. This is my tribute. This is Paul's tribute to the people of Thessalonica. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing three things: your work of faith, your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, and knowing, brethren, your election of God." That's the reason for all of it. He loved us, chose us, put His grace upon us, and we give Him the praise. But we do thank God for you. Now, I want you to turn with me to the book of Romans. This is my subject this morning. This is my subject: promises fulfilled. Promises fulfilled. Romans chapter 4. Listen to this. Romans the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 20. Romans 4:20. Speaking of Abraham, verse 20, Romans 4. "And he staggered not at the promise of God." That's my subject this morning, promises of God. And Abraham didn't stagger at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. I'm going to make five statements. Old Brother Muse used to say, "Now don't move a hand or a hair and listen to me." I'm going to make five statements regarding the promises of God. Number one, the word of our Lord tells us, you and me, people of God, that every sin of your past, your present, your future is totally forgiven. Every sin. Blotted out. To be remembered no more. I'm talking about every secret sin, every open sin, every mark against you on the books of God is forgiven and forgotten. That's a promise. Promise of God. Because he said, listen, "This is my covenant. This is my covenant, saith the Lord. I'll put my law in their hearts, and in their minds I will write my laws, and their sins and their iniquities I remember no more. They're forgotten. They're forgiven. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's a promise. Secondly, the Word of God tells us that the eternal God, our holy, righteous, eternal God of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ, is totally reconciled to every one of you in Christ. Reconciled. We're friends. When God spoke to Abraham, he said, he's my friend. Woo! Isn't that wonderful? Friend. There's no wrath. There's no enmity. There's not even a frown in your direction on the part of your God, because you've been accepted in the Beloved. You can't get any closer than that. God Almighty said, Abraham is my friend, and so are you. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have it. We're not going to have it. We have it. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no judgment, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. There's nothing between my soul and my Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. There's nothing preventing the least of his mercy, because Jesus Christ is mine, and there's nothing between. That's the promise of God. Thirdly, the word of our Lord tells us that we have, not gonna have, we have now. Every believer, everyone who loves Christ, believes Christ, looks to Christ, we have a new heart. We have a new nature. A nature which does actually love God. A heart that actually does love God. And a heart that's inclined to God and inclined to the people of God. We have a new heart which loves the Word of God. We have a new heart that loves the things of God and finds no greater delight than what they're doing, what we're doing right now, meeting with the people of God, worshiping God. I was glad when they said to me, let's go in the house of the Lord. I delight to do thy will, O God. Thy law is within my heart, because we have a new heart. Turn with me to Ephesians. Just a moment. Ephesians chapter 4. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Verse 21. If so be that you have heard him, and you've been taught by him, by whom? By Christ. We learn of Christ, we're taught by Christ. As the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, that old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in your spirit, in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man. Where'd he come from? Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. New heart and a new nature. Now here's the fourth promise. God's word declares that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. All things, every success and every failure, every joy and every sorrow, every good day and every difficult day, is ordained, purposed, ordered by my Heavenly Father for His glory and for your good. You believe that? You have to if you believe this. The steps of a good man, a believer, a righteous man, are ordered by the Lord. His steps are ordered by the Lord. God upholds him. And though he falls, he shall not be cast away. The Lord upholdeth him with his own hand. That's what it says. That's a promise. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. That's what the preacher talked about this morning. He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Whom he did predestinate, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, guarantee it, he glorified. All things in your life, all things in the life of those you love, and all things in the life of your dear children work together for God's glory and your good. That's God's promise. Fifthly, what does it mean to you to know this? This promise of God. Know it assuredly, confidently. Know it as I know it, 82 years old. I know this. That growing old and dying would be the best thing in the world could happen to me. The very best thing. Grow old and dying is the best and most wonderful thing that could happen to me. That's what the prophets wrote. That's what the apostles preached. That's what Christ preached. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. He looked for a city. David said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness, and I'll be satisfied when. I'll be satisfied when. I'll be totally, completely satisfied when. I'll know all things when. When I awake with his likeness. Brother Tom, I'm looking forward to it. Just looking forward to that day. Think of it. Think of it. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. I wrote Brother Fortner. Brother Fortner is a heap younger than I am. I love him so much, and I wrote him when he was so sick, and he's better now. I'm so thankful. But I wrote him a letter, and I quoted this verse of Paul. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And I said, Brother Don, I long for that for me and for you, but for you a little later. A little later. It's better for you to remain. Let me go on. You stay right here and keep putting our books out. I knew he'd appreciate that because he loves this truth. He loves this truth. Now these promises are true. They're precious promises, wonderful promises, sure, certain promises. Promises of God. But what's the proof of it? What's the proof of these promises? Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. Here's the proof of these promises. And you know what I want you to do? I want you to hold this in your hand. This Bible right here. And this is when our Lord Jesus Christ came to Nazareth And they'd heard about him and the works he'd performed and the wonderful words he'd said, and all the people were packed in the synagogue to hear him. And he stood up to read. And they delivered to him this scripture right here. 2,000 years ago, my Lord stood before a congregation like this of Jewish people and read from Isaiah 61, and he gave us the proof of all these promises right here. And I want you to look at it just like he held it in his hand 2,000 years ago. Listen, he said this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me, number one, to preach glad tidings, good news, good things to the meek." That's what he's given me to do. To preach good tidings to the meek. The proof of the promise. Now, who are the meek? Well, the meek are the poor in spirit. The meek are those who are sensible of their guilt, sensible of their iniquities and their sins. Like Isaiah, he said, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips." Like the Apostle Paul, who said, "Jesus Christ is coming to the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the chief." Who are the meek? The Son of Man's come to seek and to save the lost. The meek are those who stand before God naked. Before Him with whom we have to do. We all stand there as sinners naked in the sight of God. Paul wrote this, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in God's sight. For all things are naked and open before Him with whom we have to do." The Lord Jesus said, "The Spirit of God's upon me because He's anointed me first to preach this good news, the gospel, to sinners, to the meek. Just as I am, without one plea, but that His blood was shed for me. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, yet all I need in Thee to find. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, Lamb of God, I come. I come." And I tell you this, one will not be found until he's lost. One will not be clothed till he's naked. One will not be filled till he's hungry and empty. And one will not be raised in the likeness of Christ till he dies. That's the promise. And the fulfillment of it is in our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "I came to preach this gospel to the meek." All I hear is, look at this verse again. Isaiah 61. "Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." The brokenhearted. Who are the brokenhearted? Well, David said this, "The Lord is nigh unto them of a broken heart. And He saves such as be of a contrite spirit." He said again, "The sacrifices of God are broken heart. A broken and contrite spirit, O God, that will not despise." Well, what is a broken heart? I know what to do with a broken arm. Use the other one. I know what to do with a broken leg. Get me some crutches. But what's to be done with a broken heart? Transplant. Got to be replaced. That old stony, wicked heart has got to be taken out and put a new heart within. A broken heart must be replaced A broken heart needs a new heart. Ezekiel said this, listen. Thus saith the Lord, I will gather you from the people and from the countries where you've been scattered. And I'll give you a new heart. And I'll put a new spirit in you. And I'll take the stony heart out of your flesh. And I'll give you a heart of flesh that you may walk in my statutes and be my people. And I'll be your God. That's the fulfillment of the promise. He sent me to preach good news to sinners. And he sent me to replace the broken, sinful, hard, wicked heart and give me a new one. What's the third one? And he says here in Isaiah 61, and he sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. You know, one day our Lord was preaching to these people. And some of them believed on him. Some of them believed words that he said. And so when some of them believed him, he said to them, you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Our Lord is preaching to these people. Some of them believe. And he said, now you know the truth, and it'll make you free. He'll set the captive free. Free. And one of those Pharisees spoke up and said, we be Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to anybody. How'd our Lord reply to that? Here's what he said. He said, our Lord replied, he said, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. You ever committed a sin? I mean just then. Have you ever committed a sin? He said, whosoever committed sin is a servant. He's in bondage. He's a slave of sin. And we are held captive by Satan. We're held captive by Satan, by his will. But if the Son shall set you free, you'll be free indeed. Free from the law. Free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Christ has died and there's remission. Cursed by the law, bruised by the fowl, he hath redeemed us once for all. He sent me to proclaim liberty, freedom for all the captives and the opening of prison for them that are bound by the law and bound by Satan and held captive by his will. That's a promise. He's going to set you free. What's the next line? This is the master speaking 2,000 years ago to those people. Same thing I'm trying to talk about. And he sent me, verse 2, listen. He sent me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord our God. What is the acceptable year of the Lord our God? Now is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. Accepted time. Well, back in the Old Testament, in the year, there was a year of Jubilee. Every 50 years, it'd have 50 years, and on the 50th year, on the Day of Atonement, the atonement was made, and the year of Jubilee was proclaimed. And what happened? Every slave was set free. This is all of Israel, all of the people of God. Every slave was set free. Free now. Free. Secondly, all property and land that had been redeemed, restored, or stolen, or bought, was given back to the owner. Isn't that something? Back home again. All debts were forgiven. Anybody in debt? Write it off. That's the year of Jubilee. And then there was a year of rest and peace. And that was a picture of what Christ has done for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, now is the accepted time. Today is the salvation. In Christ, every slave is free. Enslaved by sin? No. Enslaved by the law? No. Set free. Free, free. All debts have been paid. All debts are paid. We owe nothing. We were plunged into deep, deep debt when Adam sinned, but we're free. Our inheritance is restored. And we enter into his rest. The rest of Christ Jesus. Enter into his rest. And then what's the fifth one? Sent me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Vengeance of our God. Now, you know, he didn't say he sent me to explain it. I can't explain the vengeance of God. I do know this. I do know God who said, vengeance belongeth to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. I will. And our Lord didn't come to explain to you and me the vengeance of God. He came to proclaim the vengeance of God. And what is the vengeance of God? Well, turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. You know, our God will punish sin. Our God must punish sin. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. There's a whole lot said in the Bible about hell, about everlasting judgment, everlasting condemnation. But I'm not trying to explain those things. He didn't send me to explain it. The Lord said he sent me to proclaim it. I'm going to proclaim it too. But here it is. Watch. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's his promise. And he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God will abide on him. That's and or. If you believe Christ, you have everlasting life. Shall not come into condemnation. But not to believe Christ is to incur the judgment and wrath of a holy God. That's it. And he said, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And I'll leave that in the hands of the Lord, who doeth all things well. But all the precious promises. All right, here's the last one. Our Lord said, Spirit of God's on me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to those who are captives of sin, the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim that glorious, wonderful day of acceptance, Jubilee, the year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn. To comfort all that mourn. Blessed are they that mourn. Mourn over sin. Mourn over a lot of things. But they're going to be comforted. Well, how is he going to comfort us? How are these promises fulfilled? You know, when our Lord spoke in Nazareth, you know, he read them this scripture, and then he said, this day, all this is fulfilled in your ears. It's fulfilled. And here's the fulfillment. Listen. Verse 3, he's to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, in the church, in true Israel, to give them beauty for ashes. That's a powerful statement. He's going to give us beauty for ashes. What does this word ashes mean in the scriptures? Well, ashes mean the fire's gone out. If you go to the hearth or to the stove and there's nothing there but ashes, there's no warmth, there's no life, there's no light, the fire's out. And that's the shape we're in by nature. The fire's gone out. And ashes secondly means sorrow for sin. I repent, he said, in sackcloth and ashes. I fall down in ashes and I repent. I repent. And then ashes thirdly mean the fire's gone out. We're overwhelmed with our sins. I repent before God and we must die. Dust to dust. Ashes to ashes. How's that going to be given beauty? All right, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Listen to this, verse 53. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. This corruption must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He's going to give us beauty. Beauty for these ashes. And then, what's that? Isaiah 61 again. He's going to give us, you know, those who mourn in Zion. And chapter 61 again. Listen to this. He'll give us beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for our mourning. David wrote, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now watch this. Our Lord said that they might be called, these people for whom the Lord has sent me to preach the gospel, to heal their broken heart, to set them free, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Trees of righteousness. All trees are planted by somebody. But these people are called the planting of the Lord. They're the planting of the Lord. And every tree that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. But these people are called the trees of the Lord because they're planted by God. And because they're planted by the rivers of living water. And they bring forth fruit in their season. And they'll never wither. They'll never die. And whatsoever they do will prosper. That's a promise. Our Lord says, right. He came to do all those things. Why? The last four words, the first five words, that he might be glorified. You stand here and preach, and I stand here and preach and try to say these things, but that he might be glorified. Not me and not you and not mama or daddy, that he may be glorified. All is Christ did. The promises fulfilled. Fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Let's bow for prayer. I thank you.